This is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick, and by Advanced Rehab. And now, here is your host, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, Advanced Rehab, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. Now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Travis Rowland. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Doing good. Can't complain. How about you?
Doing all right. Coach, you know, a tough one to talk about. When you went back and looked at the film from Friday night, what stood out to you the most about that game?
We have disciplined kids. So when I say discipline, I'm not talking about them running amok, going crazy, getting in trouble.
Sure.
I think it was a lack of discipline to the scheme. And I think, too, once the game gets away from you a little bit or you feel like it's not going the way you want it to go, you then allow like I told the coach, this was a program loss, meaning on players and coaches alike.
Yeah.
And so I think we kind of, you know, you're trying to, you know, you tell the kids there's no such thing as a 14-point play or a 21-point play. And I think when you start trying to get all the points back in one play or get four stops in one stop, you just can't do it. Days of practice. You got to stack good days. You have to stack a good quarter or a good half of football. You can't play a good half of football in one drive. And I think we started maybe pressing a little bit, you know, as players and coaches trying to create something as opposed to allowing each play to kind of take care of itself. And I had that, then when you look back on it, you know, we just in the running game, we, you know, inexplicably, you know, a guy's working to a B gap and then he's like, there's a guy in the gap, like a offensive guy trying to block me.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to go try to beat him and then get back. And when you try to do that, if you play somebody that's decent, he's going to be able to, you know, push you out of the way. And then sure, there's a, you know, open gap. And now, and those backs did a good job of patient dudes and did a good job of pressing and waiting for daylight. And so that's kind of the biggest thing I took away from it. Just, you know, we weren't disciplined to what we were doing.
So the score obviously got away a little bit, but were there some bright spots that you saw from the team that maybe didn't show up on the scoreboard?
I mean, I think that, you know, we did give up some sacks, but I thought there were a lot of other plays where offensive line picked up the heavy blitz scheme that Valdosta uses, and they do a good job of twisting, turning, looping, blitzing late. Yes. I thought the offensive line did a good job of picking that stuff up. You know, we got to be better run blocking that stuff. But I thought from a pass protection standpoint, we did a good job picking that stuff up. And then again, we didn't turn the ball over. I mean, the amount of times we tried to attempt to throw the ball, you know, we didn't fumble, we didn't turn it over. So I thought that, you know, that again is another bright spot because you didn't hurt yourselves by giving them extra possessions or giving them short fields. They earned everything they got in the sense of, you know, their field position or whatever it may be, and we didn't give them extra possessions. So I thought, again, not turning the ball over is another bright spot because you're not necessarily hurting yourself.
Yeah. I've been dying to ask you this question. What were the biggest challenges that Valdosta presented offensively? And what I mean by that is, you know, I watched some of their stuff that I was able to see. Those two running backs had 23 touchdowns between the two of them coming in.
Yep.
Were you surprised that they threw the ball that much? Like, I think we were all kind of taken aback. Whoa, this is not what we expected as fans.
I think because we when you play them, you have to do your best to invite them to throw the ball. Like,
right,
you have to. Because if you don't encourage them to throw the ball, their best players are going to have it. You know, and obviously, number one is one of their better players. But from a stat sheet perspective, you're we got to stop two running backs. And so I think for us, it was we got to load the box and hold up as best we can, try to disguise some cover stuff, play off, play pressed up, and be able to try to make them beat you with number one and beat you through the air, which is something they hadn't really done a ton of. He only had, I think, 15 catches coming in or maybe 19 coming into the game. So, you know, we kind of want to try to hold him, you know, keep the running backs in check a little bit. And I just think once they were able to break a couple of runs, you know, I think their coach, you know, decided to let the quarterback – You know, because when you get a lead, you feel a little more comfortable, kind of, you know, free calling it.
And I think absolutely.
I think once they got ahead a little bit, it was like, okay, we can loosen up even more and we can throw the ball. Because now when they complete some passes with the lead, now it looks like, oh, God, we can't stop a nosebleed, right? And so now it's just it compounds one thing to another. But I don't think it was a surprise. I think they trust, you know, number one to get open because he's obviously an SEC committed player. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, they believe in their guy. And they said, okay, if you're going to load the box, then – we're going to take the one-on-one opportunities.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. One other thing I was a little bit surprised about, it seemed like that one quarterback, number 8, I think it was, played the whole time.
He did.
And, you know, the other things that I had watched showed them kind of, you know, using a two-quarterback system. Was that a surprise to you? Or?
A little bit. Yeah. You know, because you definitely prepare for two different guys, and honestly – we thought 11 was more of the thrower of the ball within how they called the plays. So I think it was a bit of a surprise to see them go with one guy. I think that was a resounding answer as to who they're choosing to play.
Sure.
You know, and so I thought their team responded well and backed their coach up and showing that, you know, he made a good decision with who he chose to play for him. I don't think necessarily, you know, we kind of knew the plan. Because they kind of honestly did the same thing. They call a little more quarterback design run, but I think in our game he only pulled it once, and then I don't think they called a single QB design run for him, which was, you know, again, for him to be the guy with the legs, you know, it was quite a surprise. So, you know, that they didn't call more quarterback run stuff, but I think them just going one guy was a kind of a surprise just because you thought they would play both dudes.
This is an example, I guess, sometimes of you don't know what the, you know, you, I don't know if it's vanilla till you get to region, but you don't show all your cards, I suppose. But yeah, that was interesting to see.
They ran what they've been running. Yeah. I just think, you know, I don't know if it was practice. I don't know if 11 was hurt or, you know, the coach just said, we're going with one guy.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Because it is a region game. We're not going to allow you guys to rotate. So it could have been a number of different things why they did it that way.
So defensively, Coach, what did you see that you'd like to see corrected going forward defensively?
Oh, we got to fit the run better. I mean, if you can't stop the run, you can't stop anything, because now that's where your safeties, who could normally maybe go help a guy that might be having a struggle with the outside receiver, you know, he's a little more nosy in the run game because we've been getting gashed. And so I think that's been the biggest point of emphasis is us is making sure there's a hat in every available gap. So if there's no tight ends, then there's only essentially 6 gaps because they read a guy with the quarterback. So you got to have 6 people there. If there's a H-back in the game, you got to some way find a way to scheme up having 7 hats. And so our biggest thing is making sure we have a hat for a hat and then try to get the extra hat to be a quarterback player at their zone reading you. So we just got to make sure we get, you know, hats in every hole, because that's going to be the biggest thing. You know, and like I said, like Richmond Hill isn't, I know we're going to get to them, but they aren't as big or maybe as explosive as Valdosta is. But if they can figure out a way to make us misfit, if we're not disciplined to what we're trying to do, then that's where they can have some success.
So how did the players respond in the locker room after that? Like, what's that kind of environment like?
You know, it's there were some humble people in there for sure. We had some young guys, and I say young guys, that's, you know, some of our O-linemen, that was all but one, that was their first region game. And I think some of them might have had a different expectation that it was going to be a little easy. And let me not say easy. They thought it was going to be easier.
Yeah, sure.
Would be the better word. And I think some of them found out, you know, like a program like Valdosta does have kids who believe in themselves just like you do.
Oh, yes.
And so I think, you know, that was the good part about it. None of them were necessarily, they were, ego was bruised, but I think they just understood now, like, when we are on them at practice about the small things, pad level, stance, finishing a block. You know, because you can't simulate Valdosta speed with your scout team defense. You can't do that, right? And so that's when we say, well, you got to be perfect in practice so that if you do slip up in a game, you've been perfect so much in practice, you're there. And so I think that was something, you know, but like I said, their ego was bruised a little bit, but kids are resilient. You know, you have to be smart as a coach to not, you know, just punish them. And when I say punish them, like, be on them all the way to where they just drive themselves into the dirt. And so I think that's kind of one of the best parts of it, is that, you know, they've bounced back mentally. We had a great day yesterday at practice with the spirit of it, and then just moving around and flying around. Sometimes you hate losing.
Of course.
But you don't, like I say, it's only a loss if you don't learn anything from it. And I think the one thing they learned from it is that we've got to be better at practice.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
In life and in sports, you need a winning strategy to be successful. Hi, I'm Dr. Denny Carter. At Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, our strategy is to treat orthopedic injuries safely and effectively so you can return to your activities quickly. Find us on the field or in the neighborhood with convenient locations in Brunswick, St. Mary's, and St. Simon's Island. We offer same-day emergency appointments and the resources of Southeast Georgia Health System. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick is a proud supporter of local athletics and your official high school football dealership. At Lou Saab Kia, we love Friday Night Lights just like you. Come check out our massive inventory, over 100 in-stock vehicles to choose from, as low as 1.9% APR on new vehicles, and mention you heard us on this coach's show and receive an additional $500 off any new in-stock purchase. Lou Saab Kia at the end of Altama, 912-254-2034, and online at LouSaabKiaOfBrunswick.com.
Friday nights under the lights. Nothing beats high school football in our community. And just like your team, Marshland Credit Union is built on hometown pride. We're here to help you score big, whether it's your first savings account, a new ride, or your dream home. Join us in celebrating our local athletes, because at Marshland, we believe in supporting every goal, on and off the field. Marshland Credit Union. Local roots, big wins.
Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Cunningham Jewelers. So, Coach, what's been the message to your team at practice this week?
Got to finish. Got to be physical, and disciplined. I think we just have to be more disciplined in everything that we do, whether it is dynamic warm-up right before at the start of practice, doing the exercise the right way, whether it is in individual drills, whether it's in team drills, just finish and just be disciplined to what you're doing. I think that's one of the biggest parts is, and as a coach, I tell the guys Friday, when you take a shower, when you wake up and brush teeth in the morning, there's a guy you look at in the mirror, mm-hmm. and if you look away, you're looking away for a reason. Every man in the program had to look at the mirror and see where they could be better at. And I thought that was something that, I talked about for all of us. If you look away from that guy in the mirror, you got to really evaluate, why am I looking away? What am I trying to hide from him that needs to be better? And so, but I think just being, trusting, because that's one thing you have to ask yourself as a coach is, why do they have to, why are they not trust? Why are they not disciplined to the system? There must be a reason they aren't trusting what we're doing. And right. Is that me as a coach, right, of my position group, that I'm doing something that they think isn't right? They don't trust what I'm telling them. So that's where the coaches have to evaluate. I think the kids, be true to the system. And if it doesn't work, then that's on us, and we have to figure that part of it out.
So how do you balance in a scenario like that? How do you balance correcting mistakes while also keeping their confidence up? Like you said, needing to be like, hey, we got to fix some things, but we still believe in you.
I think the biggest part is, that's why when you watch the film, that's why you make the playlist. Which we do it every week anyways, where there's a highlights and lowlights, essentially. The kids get to see plays where we did really good, and they get to see plays where we did really bad. I think the biggest part is you can't, like, as much as it stinks, as mad, bad as you want to get, like, super angry, you can't be shaken. Because if a kid sees you change off of one game, now everything you tell them about the next play, next play, next play, you aren't preaching anymore.
Sure.
Because now, even though it was a game, that's the next play is the next day, right? So we have to play the game on Friday, evaluate the film on Saturday, get ready for the next opponent on Sunday, talk to them about the previous game on Sunday as well. So it's like you have to have that balance of saying the same way you are to win with the mistakes in a game, you got to be the same way in the loss. Because if you change that, then a kid smells that you now have flipped your mindset on them. So I think the biggest
part is just, I bet they pick that up in a hurry too.
Yeah, like, oh, heck yeah. They practice, yeah, absolutely. Preach, yeah. Oh, now you're yelling? Why are you you're yelling because we lost? Like, you got to try to be the same person all the time. And that's difficult, right? Because, again, you're embarrassed, your ego bruised, but you have to just try to stay the same and be as even keeled as possible.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, how important is it for the leadership within the team, like the leadership of the players themselves, your seniors and your captains, what have you? How important is that after a loss like this? Like, do they self-evaluate and, you know, self-critique,
it's important,
I guess?
Because they have accountable, because I guess, they have to. Kids ultimately run the program.
Right.
We can do every great thing in the world. We can have a leadership council. We can have guys like you come in and talk to them. You know, Mr. Roberson, who's always around and does our FCA stuff for us with Mr. Sure. Tippins, and they can give them, they can be as great examples as possible for the kids. But at the very end of the day, when we walk out of a locker room or they're in their group chats, they have to control the environment, and they have to be the ones to ultimately say, hey, we can bounce back, we can be better. And I can honestly say, I didn't see any finger pointing.
That's awesome.
During the game,
I wondered about that.
I hadn't heard it at all. You know, they obviously give each other a little roast here and there, but it hasn't been anything to the point of like, you're the reason why we lost,
yeah,
and this group was the reason why we played bad. Like, you hadn't heard that. And like, honestly, if you're a realist with yourself, nobody in the game played great. Maybe our punter had a good night,
right?
But other than that, I mean, nobody really just played outstanding to that aspect. So, but no, they've been great for each other and have done a good job not fracturing and splintering.
So one of the things we noticed just up in the stands watching, we didn't really see heads get down, mm-hmm, and stuff like sometimes we've seen in the past. You know, just other teams when,
yep,
things aren't going that well, you can kind of see it,
yep,
in the body language, and it didn't really seem like that.
I pride myself on telling them that I will never give up and stop coaching. So I pride myself on saying, when they look at me in my face, like I tell my quarterbacks, and I told Will this on Friday, and I told this to Xavier Brown, I said, when you're the quarterback of an offense and a defense, which is a middle,
sure,
linebacker, and even Will Johnson's a safety, your guys that you're in, when you're in charge of that huddle, they have to be able to look at you in the eyes and look at you in the face and don't see doubt, don't see fear. Because if they see it, then yes, their head's going to go down and they're going to be done. And so for me, I wanted to be intentional about being intense the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, it sucked. I didn't feel great. You know, it was awful.
Sure.
You know, I wear the hat because they can't see me. And I'm like, heck, I want to take my hat off so I can get missing in the crowd.
So I can hide.
Right, so
yeah,
I can hide a little, mm-hmm, bit. But, you know, it's something that, you know, we can't run from. Like, you know, Spencer Starnes came, he's like, Coach, man, I hate this for you. He's like, because when we lose like this, people are going to blame you. And I said, Spencer, that's a part of it. I was like, that's no different than the guys at the University of Florida. The guy, I said, we know when we coach at certain places, we sign up for,
that's right,
the critique. And I said, Spencer, we get critiqued and wins, buddy.
That's right.
I was like, it doesn't matter whether you win or you lose, you're going to get critiqued in all these, in these great positions. So, you know, but I think it's just the kids did a good job of following the coaches that kept,
that's
up
awesome,
their spirits. Like, obviously, when you go home, you're like, oh my God, that was awful. Or you come in the office and you're like, this, that stunk. But you can't show the kids. This is no different at home. You know, if you're the leader of your family, if you come,
sure,
in moping, it's gonna make everybody mope. It's like people say, if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. Everybody walks around on pins and needles. So, you know, we gotta stay the course.
All right, we'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
No matter if you are a professional athlete, play under Friday night lights at Chris Gilman Stadium, or a weekend warrior, injuries are a part of life. Here at Advanced Rehab, our focus is getting you back in the game faster. Personalized treatment plans, cutting-edge rehab, including our newest device, Lightforce High Intensity Laser Therapy, dry needling, and more. Located off Kings Bay Road, we have been serving Camden County since 1996 and are the official physical therapy provider for Camden County Athletics. Request an appointment today at advancedrehab.com.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching-created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earth Mine Diamonds or Lab Mine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Sports are a little different down here, and the SouthernSportsEdition.com is your go-to for all things Southern sports. The most complete high school football coverage in the state. Braves, Bulldogs, Jags, Falcons, anything SEC and more. home. TheSouthernSportsEdition.com is also your home for The Jason Bishop Show, Georgia's most listened to sports show, high school football coaches shows, and more. TheSouthernSportsEdition.com. Friday Night Lights and Sweet Tea.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Travis Rowland. This segment is brought to you by Marshland Credit Union, Advance Rehab, and by Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick. So, Coach, putting all that behind us, let's look forward. This is your first road trip of the season. What changes, what does the week look like differently with the travel? Like, what is the routine different?
What's different about the routine is we'll be normally 3:45. That is their bathroom break because we do our walkthrough at 3:54. So now that stuff is just sped up a little bit, mm-hmm. where the pregame meal is at and where the walkthrough and things are at. And we'll be on the road by when we normally would be in a walkthrough situation. So now we'll just be on the bus ready to go. I kind of welcome the trip,
sure.
To be honest.
Kind of galvanizing.
Galvanized a little bit. It's like I told the coach, I said, man, it's, Ohio State, where they got beat by Michigan in that rivalry game last year. Like, they got beat at home. Like, they actually ended up losing the home game that they would have had for the playoffs. And so it was kind of like a blessing in disguise. They were able to get away and have to go on the road and play a game. And I think for us, that's kind of something that's good for us. Like I told the kids and guys, any bandwagon fans that you might have had, they won't be there Friday. I said, when you look up on Friday at Richmond Hill at their homecoming, the people that you see are going to be your tried and true Wildcats, people that will never, ever give up on you, that are always going to be there no matter what. If we were 0-27, those same people,
be sitting in the same
like Miss Tessie, are going to be there. They're going to be in the same spot at the same time. So I think it's going to be a situation for us to, like you said, to galvanize and come tighter together and be able to put a good performance on. So I think it's going to help us focus a lot faster, because you think about it, when it's a home game, you have to, even though we have things that we do, it's still a time like where when you get on a bus, if you've played any sport, pregame, once you get on the bus,
that's it.
That's it. It's time to go.
Right.
Like, we're focused. We're locked in. Everybody's quiet. So I think that part, we'll be able to lock in a lot faster than having that same routine we've had for the better of 7 weeks now.
So what do you see from Richmond Hill on film? What kind of challenges do they present? Historically, kind of a pretty smash-mouth running team.
I think this year they've got a little more balance. The kid they brought in last year, he was a sophomore last year, number three. They brought him in to throw the football a little bit. Obviously, we were the home team. So, I think he was a little bit kind of big-eyed, that atmosphere out there in a region game. It's probably his first one. They threw him out there. So I think now, he's a little more comfortable. It's going to be at his place. It's their homecoming. So I think they're a little more balanced this year. They're still heavy run, but their balance will be better this year, I think.
What do you want to see from your defense this week in terms of response and energy?
Tackling. I want to see us, just be better at tackling, be better at fitting the run, fly around, be more sure of yourself. I think we're doing a much better job of this week of making sure they're comfortable in what they're doing, that, kind of giving them a voice in kind of what we do. But I think just want to see them fly around, man, play with confidence. I think just last week they got their confidence broken. They could never find it because they couldn't get a stop. And so I think this week it's going to be important that early they get out there and have some success so that they can play at a much faster rate and play with more confidence.
So what will be the most important factor for Camden County to get back on track Friday night?
Play complementary football.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be all three phases. We can't expect the offense to carry us, can't expect the defense to carry us, can't expect special teams to carry us. Like, everybody's got to pull their weight. We've only done that maybe twice this year, and I think we've got to have it to where everybody holds their weight for an entire football game.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So, Coach, we've talked, every week throughout the season here for the most part. You've been stressing growth week to week all season long. Where do you feel like this team has grown the most so far?
I think you talked about it with what you guys saw from the press box. I think emotionally we've grown so much.
Yes, I agree with that.
With having a positive attitude or a never-give-up attitude for an entire game. I know when you give up 63, it doesn't, from a scoreboard standpoint, it doesn't seem that way. But like I tell everybody, we didn't have kids out there not playing hard.
Sure, and you could see it.
Did they make mistakes? Yes. but they weren't out there just not playing hard. And I think that's the biggest part we've grown in our effort. Because last year we gave up less points in that game, but there were times where I could see us not trying or not playing hard. And so I think we've grown from an emotional standpoint, and I think we've also grown from a effort standpoint in practice and being able to come back and respond the right way with the physicality and speed we play with in practice.
All right, Coach, last one. When fans look at Friday's loss and then they look ahead to Richmond Hill, what message do you want the fans to know about this team? I think you just kind of really talked about it.
Oh, yeah. There were fighters. I mean, we're going to fight. I think if anybody knows anything about Camden's always been a team that's going to fight no matter who they play, whether it's Miami Central in 2010, whether it's going down to St. Thomas Aquinas that same year, whether it's driving to Ohio to play in the Herb Street Classic. Camden is going to show up and fight and play hard against anybody, and you're just going to be physical brand of football. And so I think that's the biggest piece that we got to be able to get back to is just being able to play Camden-style football.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate your time this weekend. Can't wait to get on the road on Friday and get up to Richmond Hill and see this new place they put together up there. Thanks for joining us on the Camden County Coaches Show with Travis Rowland on the Bishop Media Sports Network.